Let's take our Bibles and look together in Habakkuk chapter 3. And my text today is in verses 1 and 2. And the title of this message is A Prayer for Revival. We hear that word used a lot in our day by different religious organizations. They say they're having a revival. But what we're going to see today is the great difference between how the scriptures speak of revival and how men attempt to organize revival by their methods and their ways. So what we've seen so far in this little book of Habakkuk is how the Lord showed Habakkuk how he would raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to punish Israel.
And
Habakkuk was alarmed by what the Lord showed him. As any of us should be that are the Lord's, to know and understand how he exercises his judgments in this world. What he showed Habakkuk, and we know to be true from the rest of Scripture, is that every calamity, every war, every famine, every disaster, the Lord is the one who ordains it. And because people today are in ignorance as to who God is, they think that when these things come, they can just join hands and somehow get God to change his mind or to intervene as if God wasn't the one bringing it anyway. But at the same time, we saw how the Lord revealed to Habakkuk how he would take that very Chaldean nation, that Babylonian nation, and in his time would judge them.
And
that's what he did after 70 years that the children of Israel were in Babylon in captivity. The Lord raised up another nation of the Medes and the Persians, and they came in and destroyed Babylon. Babylon in the Bible relates to what we know today as the country of Iraq. And the Medes and the Persians that came in and conquered Babylon, when the Lord so purposed, that is the country that we know of today as Iran.
Jeno Asuli amenada dzuka mungaononga Babulo ndiye dziko limene masiku ano timalitchula kuti Iran.
So even though at one point both of these were world powers and dominated over the world, yet today they no longer have that influence and that power.
Ndiyeno monsemo tiona kuti anthu awawa amene amaoneka mphamvu nthawi imeneyoyo koma mu nthawi yoyikika mphamvu zawo zonse zidachotsedwa sadakhalaso ndi mphamvu.
Now they would like to. And certainly when you hear about them in the news, they're always trying to gain more power. But their enemies, Iraq and Iran, and it is God who keeps them in their place. So I say all that to help us understand where this was taking place in Habakkuk's day. He lived in Israel, but the Lord would purpose that he would raise up Babylon to come and to take them away into captivity, but at the same time, in God's time, he would bring down the nation of Babylon and destroy them. And what is the one object of God's wrath, whether in Israel or in Babylon? It was their idolatry. People like to talk about the United States of America as being some kind of Christian country. I can tell you it isn't. It is just as idolatrous as Babylon or as Israel. And I know whatever country we live in, there are certain ones that like to think of certain parts of that country being Christian, but it's idolatrous when you see what is done around the world in the name of Christianity. It's no different than these that worship the works of their own hands. And that's what's being preached today. That's what's being believed today, that if you want to be saved, then you have to do something. But here in my text in Habakkuk chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, we have a prayer of Habakkuk for revival. Understanding how God had revealed to him how in his time he would punish the nation of Babylon and actually bring Israel back into the land, he already begins to pray that the Lord's will be done.
Habakkuk kuda kuti zvose zvimachitika chipale kufuna kwa Mulungu mumaro mwakadada kuti kufuna kwanu kuchitike.
Even though he had already told Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3 that the vision that he was revealing to Habakkuk was for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So even though Habakkuk understood that all of this would take place in the coming years, well after he himself would be dead, yet that's what stirred him up already to begin to look to the Lord and to pray unto the Lord that he would indeed revive his work according to his word. So here in Habakkuk 3, 1 and 2, we read a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth.
And verse 2,
O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy.
Pamene Habakuku chapter 3 verse yake ya 2 ikunena kuti Yehova ndinamva mbiri yanu ndimantha Yehova tsitsimutsani ntchito yanu pakati pazaka pakuti pakati pazaka mudziwitse pamkwiyo mukumbukira chifundo.
Isn't it amazing that in such a short prayer recorded here in the scriptures we have in it everything that resembles what it is to truly pray to the Lord. Just like the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer, a short prayer, but in it is everything that the Lord would have his children pray unto him. In fact, in that same chapter in Matthew 6 that records how the Lord taught his disciples to pray, he warns them in verse 7, that when ye pray, Matthew 6, 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard, notice, for their much speaking.
Chapter 6, Dimaga 7,
So when you see these congregations organizing these all-night prayer vigils, and they get people repeating words and make emotionally crying out to their God, that is not how the Lord has taught his disciples to pray.
Nero mena mbuye Yesu anaphuzitsira kuphuzira ake kupemphera ndizosiyana kutali nimene zipembedzo zimachitira pamapemphero because chifukwa kuti zimakwanisa mapemphero ochezera nakazikitsa zopembedzera zochitika koma zimakhala zosiyana kotheratu.
That resembles more the false prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel that danced around their altar and cut themselves and cried unto their God who could not hear. We have a man in our congregation that I have read the scriptures for our times of worship, and it always impresses me that after he's finished reading the scriptures, that he'll close in prayer, but he's a man of very few words. And yet the prayer is so profound as coming directly from the scripture that he just read. And I've always been thankful that that is an example, I believe, of how the Lord has taught us to pray. It's not multiplying our words, but it's directing the prayer from the heart to him that he do his will.
Kwatu uno tilinda bale amene timapemphera nawo amene amapangaso moteromo kodwa kuti ikakona nthawi ya mapemphero tikati tipemphereni amangotsegula malemba kumawerenga azina kuti kunde kupemphera kuwalondola chifukwa samasoweka kuti apemphereni maganizo awo pokana kuyikamo nkhani zina zokondweretsa iwo mukubwerezedwabwerezedwa kwa mawu zimene si mawu a Mulungu.
So in the time we have left here, let's take a look at this prayer of Habakkuk that the Spirit directed him to pray. Any true prayer, the Spirit is the one that gives it. It doesn't come from us. It's from the Spirit. So the actual prayer here is in verse 2 of Habakkuk
3.
And yet, from verse 3 on down toward the end of the chapter, it is a song that follows this particular prayer that we see here, and we're going to look at that next time. So the prayer is mentioned in verse 2, and the song or the hymn that was sung was the result or the effect of the Lord giving him this particular song as he prayed unto the Lord. It's like for our times of worship, when we read the word and we address our prayers unto the Lord, it causes us to want to sing unto the Lord. And so often after a message, we'll pick a song. The Lord will direct us to a song that corresponds to what we've just heard in his word. That's true worship. Now it says here in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth.
He
This is a title, for example, that we find many times in the Psalms. If you look over in Psalm chapter 7, you'll see that this is the title that's given here. Now, many times, we don't even read those because we think, well, that's a subtitle, but it is actually part of the original. It's part of the word. So, in Psalm 7, it says, Shiganoth of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the
Benjamite.
I don't know if in your translation they put that in with verse 1 or not, but it actually is part of verse 1.
Yes, it is there.
Excellent. So, Shiganoth, that word literally means to sing or to recite a very wild and tumultuous poem. So in other words, it's to be sung with great affection. There are some songs that are more solemn, but here it was to be one that was sung with great excitement. So what was Habakkuk's excitement here? It's that the Lord would indeed revive his work among the people, even in the midst of the years of adversity. This would be the kind of hymn that we today would sing unto the Lord, even under much adversity and affliction or trials. We're not to be silent before the Lord. In fact, these are the very things that God brings into our lives to cause us to flee to Christ for our refuge and to make our pleas known unto God through Him. You can see at the end of Habakkuk's prayer there in verse 2, where he says, in the midst of the years, that is, of the adversity and judgment that are to come, make known in mercy or in wrath, remember mercy. When the prayer is that the Lord in His wrath would remember mercy, it's that He would be indeed merciful to everyone that He had given to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would pay their sin debt.
Now, yoikika.
This would be like the prayer of that thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come in thy kingdom. Here the prayer is not, remember our merit or what we deserve, but Lord, remember your mercy towards sinners such as we are. And you can see how the very words of the Lord had stirred up his heart to pray as he did. He says in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. This is what it is to truly hear the word of the Lord. If it does not cause us to tremble as sinners, we've not heard it. That's my prayer every time I gather in worship and I have this responsibility to declare the word of the Lord. If I have not been affected already by that word, then it's just going to be nothing but a sounding brass in preaching it. That we would never prepare the word and preach it without ourselves being affected by this very word, hearing the word. Notice he said, I've heard thy speech, thy declaration, and was afraid. This is the same reaction for us whenever we contemplate who is the God of Scripture and all of His glory and His holiness. It causes us to fear the Lord. There are many people that profess to be the Lord's who have never known the fear of the Lord. But the scriptures say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do you know where the wisdom of God has been revealed in the heart? There's a fear of the Lord. There are some that take this lightly. They say, well, what are you afraid of? If Jesus died for your sins, then you're good. Don't worry about it. That's how they reason. But if the Lord Jesus has truly died for us and paid our sin debt, we know that He bore that very wrath. And even that causes us to fear and to tremble, knowing that it could have and should have fallen on us.
Kuri kana kwa 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 k
So here Habakkuk is addressing this prayer to the Lord that he had heard what the Lord had revealed unto him concerning the judgments that were to come. Judgments not only on the people of Israel as a nation, but also afterward on the enemies, the Chaldeans. And it was the terribleness of what the Lord had revealed that filled him with this reverential fear and awe and dread. And again, how this applies to us as preachers that the Lord has raised up. We're not just preparing a speech to stand up and declare to people. No, we're declaring the word of the Lord. And so when we open the word and declare it, it's with that same reverential fear of the Lord. Because we know that God is holy and that he does not have to save any sinner. But if he does, it's based upon his holiness having been accomplished for that sinner in the Lord Jesus Christ. See how Paul wrote to the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." In verse 2, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." But notice what he says in verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He's not talking about being in weakness and in fear and in much trembling because of man. That wasn't his concern. But rather, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, in declaring Christ, that he would declare him in a manner that would give Christ all the glory. That's why it says there in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. I believe it's in that same attitude and spirit that Habakkuk here, in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, is declaring the glory of the Lord through this prayer and the song that should follow. Now, what is a prayer for revival? Here we have an example right here in this text, in Habakkuk 3 and verse 2. First of all, it's a prayer that is addressed unto the Lord. Notice it begins, O Lord. That word is the word Jehovah. So it means the great I am. Oh, the great I am. That has been, always is, and always will be. He's addressing this prayer unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people that somehow think that those in the Old Testament, because Christ had not yet come, that somehow they did not have the Spirit of Christ in them. But we know, reading from the Scriptures, especially 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 10 and 11, concerning the Old Testament prophets, searching what or what manner, well, go in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets, so that would include Habakkuk, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And then look at verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
So
that's the first thing coming back here to Habakkuk 3. There's no true prayer unto God except it be through the work, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, a prayer for revival is one which asks the Lord to do his work. This is not something man does. This is the Lord. This word here, revive, when he says revive thy work, it's written in such a way that it is imperative that if there's going to be life, it must be the Lord who does it. Notice it does not say revive our work. This is what distinguishes the true faith from false religion. Religious organizations, they go out, they cross land and sea, they want to build their little missions and their little kingdoms, and whenever things start going wrong for them, then they cry unto their God that He would bless their work, bless the work of their hands. It's all about them. Here is that the Lord would revive His work, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And notice, it's for a continual work. It's not just to get together and try to get things going. No, it's that the Lord would be pleased to continue that work that He has begun, even through adversity and trouble and trial. Certainly this is a prayer that we can pray in our day. Whenever we look around and see such hardness on the part of men and such idolatry, even in what they call Christianity, it causes us to be alarmed. But in all of this, we can always say, Lord, revive thy work. In other words, where you have purposed that your work should be done and accomplished to your glory, cause that work to be so. Cause it to be done. And truly, we know that the Lord answers that prayer because His will is always done. And yet, our cry is always unto Him that He receive the glory in all that's accomplished. But the third thing about a prayer for revival is that last part that we see here in verse 2. In wrath, remember mercy. We know that we don't deserve God's mercy. And all the while that we pray that the Lord be pleased to bless and revive His work that He's doing out in the world, yet we don't neglect that prayer for ourselves, that the Lord would revive His work in us, in our hearts. We know that God has purposed times and seasons, even for our own hearts.
Monga tidziya kuti Mulungu ngauchita kufuna kwake ndipo ndi Mulungu wa nthawi amene amachita chimene kufuna munthawi yakeyo.
There are times where the Lord blesses and we have such a clear view of the Lord Jesus Christ and our hearts are drawn out to Him.
Ndipo nthawi yetu imene Mulungu amachita chifuniro chake ndipo ife timaona mmene zinthu zilili ndi mmene zachitikira.
But we have to confess that there are also times of dryness. And it seems that our hearts are cold, even toward this very one that we profess to know. Then it's times like that that the Lord causes us to realize that had the Lord Jesus Christ not paid our sin debt, God should and could have cast us off forever. That's why he says here in the end of verse 2, in wrath, remember mercy. God is still a wrathful God because of his holiness and justice.
And
certainly he is just in condemning sinners and casting them into hell. But if he has not so dealt with us, it is for one reason, because he purposed mercy. And that wrath that we deserved fell upon his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sin had to be judged, had to be punished. But in mercy, he caused that his son should pay that sin debt instead of us bearing it. So in a prayer for a revival, we're not asking the Lord to save everybody or revive everybody. That's not according to the Word. But the prayer is that while God is just in judging sinners, yet that he would be merciful, remember mercy, to those that he has chosen and for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came and paid the sin debt. That's who we're asking the Lord to revive. Here again, this prayer of Habakkuk is similar to the prayer of the publican in the temple that the Lord mentioned in Luke chapter
18.
In verse 13, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Mulungu, inewoshima.
You see the similarities in his prayer and that of Habakkuk?
Mukuona pempero lake limene adapempherera uyo, limene likufanana ni buku la Habakkuk.
When this publican prayed, God be merciful, he was asking that God would look upon that mercy seat in the temple that represented the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Habakkuk was praying the same thing. In wrath, remember mercy. Look upon the mercy seat where that blood was sprinkled once a year. And be merciful for your mercy's sake. But here again we see that the way God is merciful, it is through the substitute, it is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, just like the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't just say be merciful to me, but knowing myself to be worthy of your wrath, be merciful for Christ's sake. That's a prayer for revival.
And
so I pray that as we've looked at this word today, our own hearts be stirred up, that God would cause us to remember again that his blessings come to us through Christ, and it's for his mercy's sake alone. In thy wrath, remember mercy. Well, I'll stop there for now and look forward to continuing next time.
To God be all the glory and honor. Kwa lero tine kina pomampa. Chifo yes, mene mungu walola. For sure, he should have mercy on us. What a beautiful message of comfort. The gospel revealed in the scriptures given to the elect, the only illuminant, the only people whom Christ died for. We are thanking God because of the encouragement, because of the expounding of his gospel, more especially to his own elect, not everybody.
Amen.
For we understand that nobody can understand the gospel, the little scriptures, if it is not the Lord who purposes it to be in that way.
Amen. Gracious Father, we're truly humbled in your presence, considering your word and how it is your spirit that teaches us to pray and to address those prayers to you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is salvation, and that we can be thankful that in wrath you remembered mercy. We deserve nothing but your wrath, and yet you purpose that we be vessels of mercy, and that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you caused to come into the world in the fullness of the time, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law's condemnation. And for that, we look to you and thank you, but pray always that that work ever be revived in our hearts and in our thoughts, and that even this day, what you've given us to do and the path that you've put us on, that you would direct those thoughts to yourself and to your glory and honor in all that we do. We give you thanks and praise in Christ's precious name. Amen.